Ladies and gentlemen, we, people of color, daughters and sons of immigrants, we belong to Europe. I am, we are the story of Europe.
Hello everybody, and welcome to this new episode of We Belong, the stories of the new daughters of Europe. I'm Yasmine Omiram, and I'm an expert on peace and security at the AU-EU Youth Cooperation Hub. And today, I will make you travel in a place that is very close to my heart. A place that is almost inaccessible, totally confined from the world. We will virtually travel to Italy, in one of the areas that is the most affected by the coronavirus. And as we are all witnessing an unprecedented crisis, I want to show a particular solidarity to my country of origin and birth, which is Italy. The young woman that I will introduce to you today lives next to Milan. She is committed to give visibility to Black people, and particularly Black women, in a society where they are still very marginalized. They call her Bellamy, or also Dark Chocolate Creature, as her Instagram name. And she's very active on social media, and you will see her on Instagram or on her YouTube channel, for example. So, hello Bellamy, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for accepting my invitation. First of all, before you tell us your story, your path and your struggles, we want to hear how are you doing. And since you're confined since a long time, we want to know since how much time you're confined home and how is the situation there in Italy?
Okay, well, physically I'm fine, thankfully. We are at day, I believe, 13 of quarantine. Honestly, I've lost count because it's been so long and every day seems the same. So I kind of lost count, but I believe it's day 13. Mentally, it's starting to get quite heavy. Even though I like being home and I like being by myself, but usually it's a choice. When I'm forced to stay home, all of a sudden I want to go out. It's quite tough. I'm really, really, really worried about the future and the financial future, specifically of Italy. Financially, we are not usually at the same level of, you know, Germany, France. You know, our public debt is extremely high. So this is literally the last thing that we needed. When the scare started spreading at first, the immediate reaction of people, of Italian people, was to physically attack Chinese people, avoid completely Chinese restaurants, you know, nail shops and things like that. So they started marginalizing Chinese people in Italy. Actually, I should say around the Milan area, because that's where it all started. And the papers literally had titles that incremented the racism against Chinese people, and that did not give correct information about it. We had the governor of Veneto in a video saying that, of course, Italian people will not be as affected by this because we have different hygiene habits. As opposite to Chinese people, we shower every day, we do not eat rats. He literally said this. Like, he literally, the governor of Veneto said that, you know, we are not as affected by it, which little did he know, a few days later, you know, the situation completely escalated. But, you know, to hear politicians say such despiteful things about Chinese people, completely based on racism, because what the hell, everybody showers. What are you talking about? Are you actually saying that Chinese people do not shower, have poor personal hygiene, and that's why, you know, they are affected by COVID, and that they eat rats, even though literally it's just a small, small, small part of the Chinese population that have different eating habits. But still, who are you to judge what other people? And of course, who are you to put Italian people above others? That's literally white supremacy, and he spread it out.
Of course, I totally understand. And what worries me even more is that after every crisis, there is fear and an increased sense of nationalism that could follow this you know, national crisis, this international crisis, and result with even more racism towards minorities in Italy. Of course, now, especially for Chinese people, it's they are the main targeted people. They've been the main targeted people, but in the future, this could even cause more discrimination towards minorities in general, because there will be an economic crisis following that will worsen the situation. So how do you feel about that?
Well, the first thought is that now, or actually in the past, I would say 10 days or so, Italy has been going through the same discrimination and the same hatred that they put Chinese people through. So they're tasting a little bit of their own medicine, because they went from racially profiling and marginalizing Chinese people to being the one marginalized, to being considered, you know, the sick people and the people who literally spread the sickness everywhere, because literally every day I go on Twitter and I find new Italian people that have brought COVID, you know, in a new place. And of course, people from those countries have reacted, you know, negatively and, you know, saying a lot of bad things about Italian people, thinking of closing the borders for all people coming from Italy. So they literally, the same policies that Italian people have asked to be applied against immigrants in Italy is what they are seeing people demanding against them, you know, abroad. And the reaction of Italian people has been really interesting, because, you know, they are not used to being the targeted people. And their reaction has been very, very hypocritical, even by Giorgia Meloni, who is a politician from Fratelli d'Italia, which is very far right extremist party who has been against, you know, the change of the citizenship law for, you know, Italian with immigrant parents, who has been preaching about closing borders and sucking away all immigrants. I was so amused seeing her reaction and her writing about how unfair the treatment towards Italian people is from other countries. I'm like, look at that. Look at that. So maybe now you see, you understand that your behavior has been wrong. But personally, I don't think that Italian people are going to learn from this situation. I highly doubt it, because we are literally the most hypocritical country in the world. About the possible increase of intolerance against immigrants. Personally, I highly doubt that it can get worse than what it has been in the past 1 or 2 years. The increase of racism, of xenophobia, of assault, racist assault, it has gotten so high that personally, I doubt that it can get even worse. I've seen that this virus has definitely increased the animosity that I would say some Italian people have towards the European Union. I don't think so that the intolerance will raise. And I hope that I'm right, because if not, it's gonna get, like, I really don't know how it can get worse than this. So hopefully it's not going to happen. But yeah, I feel like they're going to be way too worried about receiving money from the EU, about getting back on their feet that racism is not going to be, you know, a thought or a concern.
Let's hear about your word. For every episode, we have one word, one story, and one key. So what is your word today, Bellamy?
My word is multifaceted because I believe it's the word that represents me the best, because I've always been a mix of opposites. I've always been interested in different things. That's my personality as well, because I can be very cool, calm, and collected in some situations, and I can be, you know, loud and spontaneous and, you know, over the top and extremely expressive in others. I was raised to take care of myself, and that's how I got into skincare. And my mom in Uganda, because she's Ugandan, basically her being a stylist was her side job. She was a fashion stylist, and she was also a tailor. So and that's where I got my love for fashion. But at the same time, I've always been passionate about social justice and about different cultures from my own. I've always been passionate about learning how other people lived abroad. And thankfully, I've also, like, learning different languages comes easy to me. So, and then I got into politics and international relations. So I've never liked to be, closed into a box. And I like to express myself in different ways, which is not easy, because especially when you are a woman, well, basically people are more prone to put labels on women, of course. A man can talk about football. He can be the biggest football supporters, you know, and go to the stadium every weekend and express his love for football, but his intelligence will not be questioned. He will not be targeted as superficial because he loves football. He can talk about football and talk about politics and, you know, his character not get questioned. But for women, unfortunately, that's not the same. If you like beauty, you are automatically, you know, labeled as shallow. If you like, I don't know, makeup, or you like taking some sort of pictures, then how can you the next day talk about politics and racism? Like, I don't even have a duality. I have different, you know, areas that I like to express, that, you know, that builds my character and that builds my personality, and I don't like to be closed in a box. I definitely went through an identity crisis growing up, because I was not Italian enough for Italian people. I was definitely not Ugandan or Sudanese enough for, you know, Ugandans and Sudanese. So I've always been in a limbo, and that really messed me up, because I literally did not know who I was. And I struggled with this up until like a couple of years ago. Now I understand that I am Italian, but that I am also a product of all the cultures and all the knowledge that I've gained from different people, from different countries, and from different cultures. Like, I cannot say that I am just Italian, because that's not true. But I cannot say that I'm Ugandan. I cannot say that I'm only Sudanese, because I do not have, you know, the same knowledge or the same sense of belonging to those countries as much as I do. Like, Italy to me is home, you know, and I cannot say the same thing about Uganda, you know, or about South Sudan.
Definitely. And I think that all these identities that combines and form your personality perfectly describe your adaptability to the world, and also the way you shaped your professional career. We know how important your messages are. You're talking about sexism, but also racism, and this sense of belonging, of being part of different cultures and societies, and still feeling more Italian than ever, than anything else. So we know how important social media can be in sharing such messages and creating content, entertaining people, especially in this period of confinement. For us all, you use them a lot to communicate, to inform, to influence, and your Instagram has more than 36,000 followers. And you choose as a nickname Dark Chocolate Creature. So tell us more about it. Why this name and what's the message behind it?
Yes, well, my Instagram really started as a joke. I've taken it more seriously only in the past 2 years, max. Well, I feel like it was about, you know, basically creating a profile at the right time. Because there aren't many black girls in Italy doing what I do, it was quite easy to raise, to gain followers and such like, and things like that. My profile is all about beauty and fashion and skincare. And yeah, I work with brands. I create content for beauty and, you know, hair and skincare brands. I've also worked with fashion brands. Through this whole influencing situation, I've also become passionate about video editing. I have enjoyed it. Actually, I do not use it as much as people think. Like, I have also a love and hate relationship with social media as well, in the sense that I love sharing what I like, and I love sharing because growing up, I really wanted to see a black Italian girl like me in the media, and I did not see that. So I understand that it's important to have a representation, to have, you know, to have someone that look like you give you the information that you want to receive. That's why, like, I did not open an Instagram account with the intent of becoming an influencer, with the intent of working with brands. You know, that was absolutely not my intent. It all started as a game. Like, it literally started by chance. I was posting pictures and then brands started contacting me. It all happens. Like, I did not look for it. And to me, it's not a job. Like, it's a hobby that I make money from. You know, thankfully, I've been able to turn a hobby into a side hustle. And it also that I have created, you know, two profiles. One, which is Dark Chocolate Creature, where I talk about beauty. And then the other one is for Afro-Italian Souls, which is the platform that I have created. Because, like I said, I am very interested about social justice, about racism, about raising awareness for black Italian people. And that's why, you know, I also have that platform. I am much more passionate about the Instagram account of Afro-Italian Souls rather than, you know, my beauty profile, because I feel like it's definitely much more valuable. I feel like the work that I do has a deeper meaning. With that, I'm not saying that beauty, you know, is a shallow topic. It's just, for me, I put politics and social and other things above beauty because I feel like those topics have, they have a bigger impact on the society and they have a long-term impact on the society. Like, I feel like that on their profile, I can literally improve. I can do my work. I can do my part in creating the society that I would like to live in.
We will get back to Afro-Italian Souls later, which is another phase of your work. You want to normalize the presence of black women, especially black women in Italy, also through social media. And I say black and I insist on this wording because even yourself, in your channels, you precisely criticize people in Italy that instead of saying black, they tend to use other wording. For example, they say a person of color, una persona di colore in Italian. So there is a real taboo around blackness. And on your channel, you use humor to talk about these very serious topics. So which role did your social media play in your career, besides the Instagram channel, which is for you more a side job, but how social media help you sharing your messages?
The thing is that Italian people are very uncomfortable with words like, you know, black and white, because Italy has a big issue, has a big problem with labels, has a big problem with, like you said, words such as black and white. It's like black to them is a bad word, white is a bad word, and I'm like, but why? I am black and I am Italian, and it's not a definition that I want to give. It's just a fact. You are white and you are Italian. I am black and I'm Italian. The problem is that the identity of Italy as a nation is very white, in the sense that whiteness is the normality. It's all basically heritage of the fascism, of the fascist laws, you know, that literally stated that Italian people could only be white, which is also why the citizenship law stands from the bloodline, you know, the jus sanguinis and not the jus soli. So the fact, you know, this association is very detrimental to people like me, who were born and raised in Italy, who are Italian, but because we are not white, we are still not considered part of the nation. Even though people say, you know, there are some people who say, no, you were born and raised here, so you are Italian. Well, that's a lie, because when people see me, they assume that I am not Italian. Like, they are surprised when they see me speaking perfect Italian. They are surprised when, you know, they always ask me, okay, I say, where are you from? I say where I'm from, and I'll be like, oh no, but where are you really from? You know, like, where are you really from? And I'm like, what do you mean? Why me being black, why my reply, I'm from Italy, I'm from Milan, is not enough for you? Because in your head, the association of a black body to the Italian identity is not normal.
How were you perceived on social media? Did you witness lots of racism online, but also offline? And what's the most ridiculous remarks of, you know, funny things that people ask you?
Sometimes I'm perceived as vain. I am perceived sometimes as a know-it-all, because, you know, I talk about, you know, different things, and I feel like I am perceived as unique, in the sense that, you know, I don't conform to what beauty content creators do, because I do not talk just about beauty, and I try to be, you know, to talk about different things. Well, I'm quite lucky, because knock on wood, but I don't regularly receive negative criticism. Well, first of all, I have the block button. Like, I block very easily. Like, I don't even think twice about blocking people. And at the same time, the negative criticism that I receive are always when I talk about racial issues and social justice issues, because of white fragility and white guilt. I receive some really stupid questions about black people, about black skin in general. I don't know, such as, I have black skin, so how do colorful eyeshadows show up on your skin so well? I'm like, bro, like, are you mad? Colors show up the same way on everybody. Like, well, like, I don't understand. Usually it's like, if I receive silly comments, they are about ignorance when it comes to black skin, African heritage, you know.
Okay, let's talk politics, Bellamy. There is a lack of visibility of black women in Italy and in Europe in general. For example, the first and the only Italian black woman to become a minister in the history of Italy was Cécile Kyenge, and she was nominated in 2013. She has then been victim of racism and xenophobia. She also was the only black woman as a member of the European Parliament. and she was compared to a monkey by another member of the Italian parliament. Do you recall this episode? And how did it make you feel at that time?
Yes, yeah, of course, I recall this episode. And I was honestly, I don't want to say heartbroken, but I was extremely disappointed by how Italian politicians, how men treated her, because, well, it was the proof, you know, it was another confirmation of the fact that in Italy, no matter, regardless of how smart you are, regardless of how much money you make, regardless of your job, you will still mostly be considered inferior. She was literally a minister. And the fact that actually that, I believe, her wishes was, I believe, Minister of Integration and something like that. It was the first and only time that that kind of ministry was created in Italy, of the political department was created in Italy. We do not have the same, you know, nobody replaced her, you know, in the following governments, which tells a lot about the importance that Italian government gives to the needs of immigrant people. But the same thing that happened to her, like, it still happened right now. We had the elections in last year, we had the election, and there was another woman for European election 2019. Among the candidates, there was another African woman. Well, she's, of course, African-Italian. I believe she's originally from Senegal. Her name is Fatou Borolo. She was a candidate of the Green Party. She was very eloquent. She was much more outspoken. She was much younger than Cécile Kyenge. She was treated in an extremely disgusting way by her opponents. She was called, literally, they told her, nigger, go back to the jungle. Literally, like, I'm quoting this. Nigger, go back to the jungle. Other atrocious, racist insults. And that was in 2019. I'm definitely not surprised anymore when I hear and when I see racist attacks, because it's been happening way too often recently, and people literally feel entitled, thanks to Salvini, thanks to Giorgia Meloni, thanks to Casa Pound, thanks to extreme right party that literally, you know, spread nationalism, and that are bringing back a lot of the spirit, a lot of the features that were the spirit of fascism. So it's really, 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 really scary. I'm not surprised about it, but it's definitely scary. It's a scary thing.
Totally, totally. And this sense of entitlement has roots. And as you mentioned, during the past year, the Italian government had the far-right leader Salvini on power, and this caused an increase of racist attacks, but also, yeah, a normalization of these racist discourses towards immigrants, and particularly black people. It somehow legitimized these narratives among citizens. So how did you feel at that time? Did you see a difference on your day-to-day life when Salvini came into power?
Okay, well, firstly, I want to say that the expression of racism that we see right now has not come with Salvini. Like you said, now Italian people feel legitimized to express sentiments that they've always, always had. Because I heard, you know, I used to hear racist things even when I was, you know, a kid growing up in Italy. So now, yeah, they are legitimized, but it's not that Italian people became racist when Salvini, you know, gained power. the fact that now people feel more legitimized has definitely brought an increase in the manifestation of intolerance. And I definitely have noticed in the past 2-3 years that the vibe has changed. The vibe is much more negative. Growing up, I was never scared to go anywhere as a black girl in Italy, never. But in the past 2 years, I'm definitely more afraid. When I leave the house, when I am around them, I look, you know, at my back much more than I used to do before. Well, I actually started looking at my back. I didn't used to do that. I had a girl leaving me a terrible message a few months ago. She's a volleyball player in Emilia Romagna. I'm not gonna say, you know, the town, because there's only one volleyball team in that town. I don't want to expose her. But basically, she told me that she's one of the strongest players in her volleyball team, which is one of the biggest volleyball teams in Italy, apparently. And she's, I think she's 17. And she basically left me a message saying that the coach of a volleyball team refuses to train black girls. And the black girls are the strongest players of the team. But the coach, who is the son of the owner of the volleyball team, refuses to coach them. So they have been training in different days, in different times, from the other teammates, team members, because the coach refused. He explicitly stated that he does not want to train black players. Most times the coach also refuses to let them play in matches, you know. And when they do not play, of course, the team loses the match, but he doesn't care because he does not want to have to deal with black kids. And nobody says anything because he is the son of the owner of the team.
It's really, really sad and shocking to see that we still have to deal with apartheid in 2019 or 20. That's crazy. But I'm happy that people reach out to you, and that through your platform, you're able also to amplify those voices and to create a safe space for people to reach out to you and to just share what they live. Do you feel a sense of responsibility to do so? And does this visibility give you even more legitimacy to denounce this racism in Italy today? And how do you see doing it in the long term?
I feel a responsibility, but because not because of my social media visibility. I feel the responsibility as a person. Social justice is a passion of mine, is really an interest of mine, you know, and I created a platform to specifically address this topic. So I feel a responsibility as a woman, I feel a responsibility as a feminist to talk about certain things. At the same time, I am not the Robin Hood of the situation. Like, at the same time, I do not want to be this perks person for black people in Italy. So I do not address every single racist episode that happens in Italy, because otherwise, you know, I need to protect. Like, through the years, I have learned to protect my mental health and to protect also my energy. And dealing and expressing and discussing and denouncing racism and discrimination and the experience of the black body in Italy all the time, every week, is extremely exhausting. Like, it's something that literally consumes you. So I had to learn to, you know, take a step back when I need to. And whenever something big happens and I do not talk about it, because I'm not in the right, you know, mental space to talk about it, I do receive DMs from people asking me why do I not talk about it, or asking me why, how I feel about it, what do I think about that thing, or even, which is the thing that I hate the most, I have people send me things, you know, is like, oh, look what happened. And it's always white people that do that. Black people do not do that because they understand the emotional distress that comes, you know, with that sort of information. But yeah, I do receive a lot of DMs from white people. They want me to show, to see that thing. I'm like, first of all, well, I address that though in my social media. I address the fact that they should not expect me to, you know, discuss every single racist thing that happened in Italy or xenophobic things that happen in Italy, because mine is a choice. I do not see this as a duty. I see things as something that I want to do when I feel like doing it. One of the reasons why I started to be more vocal about these issues was, you know, in the hopes that other Black Italian, you know, followed my lead and follow my examples, and so that they could know that they have the freedom to talk about it. Because the generations before mine was never ever vocal. Like, their voices were never heard. My generation is literally the first that, you know, started to speak up, which is also why there's a lot of ignorance in Italy about some things, because nobody educated them. Nobody, you know, spoke up about, look, these things that you do, this mentality that you have is definitely, it's wrong, you know, it's against me, you know, it damages me, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I feel a responsibility, but I do not talk about it all the time. I see myself doing it long term simply because I know that I can, well, unless there would be many more journalists, you know, speaking for us, and platforms, you know, websites, because now there's not enough people and, you know, communities and whatever talking about this. Still, our voice is ignored, our experience is ignored in the media, in the news, in the papers. So I see myself doing this in the future, because changes in Italy happen very, very slowly. So unless I get tired of it, or I see that my work turns to be useless in the long term, I will stop. But until then, I don't think that I will stop, because it's like a calling that I have at the moment.
Okay. It's so important, yes, to have a representation on the media level. And I totally agree with you that giving a platform to share our stories and to be vocal on what we witness, our experiences, is essential to just to make us feel part of society, right? In terms of sharing stories, you created Afro-Italian Souls, which is a blog. Can you explain us more about it?
I created Afro-Italian Souls with a friend of mine, and it was, we created it because of the, as a reaction of the frustration that we felt and that we still feel about the lack of representation, about being invisible in the media, about the negative narrative that, you know, media perpetuated in regards to Black people in Italy. So literally, I got tired of complaining, and I was feeling extremely powerless, but at the same time, I reached a point where I could not just sit and do nothing. And so, yeah, I created Afro-Italian Souls first as a blog. Then it became, you know, the team grew. So we started having people writing articles. The goals of Afro-Italian Souls are to promote the excellence of the African diaspora in Italy. So it is not only for Black Italian people, but it is also for, you know, I would say African immigrants in Italy. Because it's also for, you know, the older generations. It's also for, because when we promote the you know, black excellence, the most of the times in Italy, black excellence is from the African diaspora. And there are certain things that all African kids have in common, that all people who have African parents have in common. I wanted to create it specifically for that target. Yeah, I wanted my target to be the African diaspora in general, because my aim was to also, you know, promote, I don't know, doctors or whatever, regardless of the fact that they were born in Italy or not, regardless of them having the Italian citizenship. So after, you know, from promoting black excellence, and that was firstly to give role models to black Italian kids, because I did not want black Italian kids having to look abroad or overseas to find role models the way I had to do growing up. And also to give a deep, to change the narratives for white Italian people. I wanted to give a different representation of black people in Italy, opposed to what the Italian media does.
I think that your initiative is very inspiring. You also describe yourself on your bio using a quote. You use the quote of Maya Angelou, and she's a black American poet that died in 2014. I will read it. It says, "My mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive, and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor and style." Please tell us more how this quote represents you.
Well, first of all, I absolutely adore Maya Angelou. I respect her so much. I've learned so much from her. And, well, it represents me because I want to be active, you know, in my life, in my existence. I don't want to merely exist. I realized that, especially when you grow up in Italy, there is a tendency of letting life pass by, of being content with just having the bare minimum and not really take action, and we're not prone towards progress in all areas of our lives. And so I immediately decided, I decided that I really wanted to not survive, not just exist, but to thrive, you know, to live my life to the fullest and take everything that life has to give. With passion, you know, like I said, I am not afraid to express and to pursue the different passions that I have, even though they seem contrasting. I don't care what people think. With some compassion, because I feel like compassion is extremely important in human interactions. And growing up, I felt lack of passion, of compassion from white Italians, from my friends and acquaintances in regards to, you know, my black experience, in regards to being a black girl growing up. You know, I felt a lack of compassion from other people. And so just because they do not understand what maybe I was going through. And also, as I am a Christian, and compassion is one, you know, of the main things that Christianity promotes. And humor, because like I say, like, I love to laugh. I am extremely sarcastic. I love to make jokes. I have the tendency of not taking seriously. I take seriously a lot of things, but I have the tendency of making jokes about a lot of things, even things that people usually do not joke about. Humor is good for the soul. It's good for your spirit. There's so much negativity in life. It's so easy to let negative things put you down. And I've learned, you know, the importance of laugh. And with style, because style is also a part of me. I love fashion. I like to live by this quote, and I try to live by this quote. And Maya Angelou is definitely an amazing model, for this.
Thank you. Bellamy, through your story and your commitment, you're a source of inspiration for many young women, not only in Italy, but across Europe and beyond. And in this podcast, we ask to our guests to share a key with our audience, a key that will help the ones who are listening to us to achieve their dream, their project, or their ambition. So what is your key, Bellamy?
My key is knowledge, is thirst for knowledge. There's a lot of things that, well, I would be ignorant, I would be very, very ignorant about a lot of things had I not do a lot of research, had I not been curious, had I not be passionate about learning more. So literally my key and what I would like for other people to really strongly take into consideration is the pursuit of knowledge, because there's no such thing as an absolute truth. Nobody knows everything about anything. So the more you know, the more aware you are, and the more you can improve yourself, the more you can interact with different people, the more you are active in your life, because you know what happens and what happens around you. You know how to defend yourself. You know when you are mistreated, when you're not mistreated. Like, knowledge is literally, and knowledge about everything. I'm not talking about necessarily, you know, political or social things. It can even be, you know, how to beat your face and look bomb for this special event that you have. You know, if you have a little bit of knowledge about beauty, you know, and how to enhance your natural beauty, that's also, you know, that's also a positive thing to me. So yeah, the pursuit of knowledge and to try to avoid being stagnant. Mental laziness is a disease that we should all try to avoid as much as possible.
Thank you so much, Bellamy, and I send you all my support for this critical time for Italy, but also for Europe and for the world. We are in this together, and hopefully there will be brighter times, there will be more space for justice to triumph, and I really enjoyed our talk, so thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you. It was really, really nice. It was really a nice chat, and thank you so much for having me. And I also, you know, send you all my support for this beautiful journey that you just started. I was really, really pleased to, you know, when I discovered it, and also happy when you, you know, when you asked me to join it. And it's really important to, you know, for our stories, for the stories of the daughters of yours to be told.
Thank you, Bellamy. This was the end of our second episode, and my key for today is some tips to adapt to the confinement situation without making it too boring. So first of all, find a partner to do sports. I'm doing it with my best friend, and we're doing CrossFit exercise on FaceTime from our rooms. That's quite funny because we are using a chair to work out on our arms and a dictionary as weight for squats. But it's a good way to, you know, just keep moving. You can also join in yoga classes if you are a yoga person, of course. There are many courses, and one that I personally recommend because it's a friend of mine is Body Mind Focus. You will find the information in the description below. And finally, if you wanna learn something new, check the website MOOC. MOOC stands for Massive Online Open Courses. And you can find many courses free and accessible online. And if you want to just chill, well, there is a new series on Netflix called Self-Made, based on a true story of the first millionaire black woman in the history of humanity. So I suggest you to watch it. You just listened to a special episode of We Belong, recorded from Milan, Italy. We Belong is a podcast produced by Le Cavalcade, and if you like it, don't hesitate to share it and subscribe. We are on all platforms, so send us your feedback and share with us your story of belonging. Take care of yourselves, your relative, and thank you for joining our adventure at We Belong.